This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 112, His Royal Highness, Part 1.
Oh, hi, lack-a-day and misery me.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. Now, way back around episode 70, we had a film called Kangaroo, which was one of Hollywood's few glances into some form of Australian culture, though it wasn't really made by Australians. In fact, in 1906, Australians made what's regarded as the first ever feature-length narrative film, The Story of the Kelly Gang. Early Aussie film history, some may say most of Aussie film history, was defined by limited resources and the heavy influence of American and British films taking up local screens, more and more of which were owned by foreign companies. When Fox bought up a major Aussie distributor, one of that distributor's owners, F.W. Thring, sold his shares and started his own company, F.T. Film Productions, which fought to entertain Australians with their own stories by their own people. One of those people was one of the most popular vaudeville performers at the time, George Wallace, a comedian who looked and talked like a dock worker, but had footwork and slapstick acrobatics that set everyone back on their heels. A good piece of his vaudeville act can be found in the middle of this episode, in one of the very few surviving examples of his work on film. From 1932, this is His Royal Highness. FT Film Productions. In the middle of the company's crest, a koala bear sits in a eucalyptus tree, looking around. FT Film Productions present George Wallace in His Royal Highness, a comedy with music. Story, George Wallace. Adaptation, C.J. Dennis. Music, Alaric Howitt, George Wallace. Music directors, Harry Jacobs, Will Cade. Ballets, Miss Jenny Brennan. Photography, Arthur Higgins. Sound, Alan Mill. Settings, W.R. Coleman. Players, Burl Walkley, Frank Tarrant, Donalda Warren, Lou Vernon, Marshall Crosby, John Fernside, Nell Taylor, John Dobby, Mona Barley, Clem Milton, Cecil Scott, Edwin Brett, Billy Maloney, Nellie Morton, Darcy Kelway, Field Fisher, Bill Innes. Directed by F.W. Thring. At night, glassy water reflects the lights of Melbourne. The streets are busy with automobiles and trolley cars. Beyond the stately buildings and glittering lights, behind a theater, is Giuseppe's stall for hot pies. Walking his beat, a constable ambles toward it.
Hello, Giuseppe. How's business?
Not so good.
Oh, it'll be better later on.
He takes a pie and walks off.
You like me pink? No wonder the business is crook.
A barrel-chested little man with a battered little hat on his head peeks around the corner of the stall and steps out in front of the counter.
I'll have a pie.
You get no pie for me, Tommy John.
Go on, get us a pie. Tell you what I'll do, Giuseppe. I'll wash up the dishes for you if you give us a pie.
Yeah? The last time you wash up the dishes for me, you pinched one saveloy. You're a very bad boy, that's what you are.
When he spots a woman, he takes off his hat.
Hello, Tommy.
How are you, Miss Molly?
Just having a pipe?
Just trying to kid this wart in here to give me one.
I won't give you no pie unless you give me the money. Why don't you get a job somewhere?
Why don't I?
He puts the hat back on.
Haven't I been walking around town all day trying to get a job?
Oh, here, Tommy. I'll buy you a pie.
Oh, no. No, Miss Molly, I couldn't let you buy me a pie. No, thank you very much.
Come on. It's only threepence.
She pays.
No, I don't feel a bit hungry now. My heavens, isn't it marvelous how your hunger leaves you all of a sudden?
Well, I can't stay here any longer. I've got to get into rehearsal.
She walks off as he feels the place on his arm where she touched him. Then he grabs the pie and turns away with it. watching Molly go through the theater's stage door, guarded by a man smoking a pipe in a chair with a cat in his lap. Tommy wanders to the door and notices the guard staring at him. As Tommy starts to look through the doorway, a man comes out.
Here, Pop. Where's that man I sent the message? Isn't he back yet?
Oh, no, no, I ain't seen him.
Oh, he's the slowest man I've ever seen. He'd be gone an hour already. Look, when he does come back, tell him he's sacked.
Excuse me, mister.
Well, what do you want?
Could I just hear you say you sacked a man?
Yes.
Any vacancies? Got anyone to take his place?
No.
What about putting me in?
Well, do you know anything about stage work?
Do I? I've worked on stages all my life.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, come inside and I'll give you a chance. Come on.
Following him in, he turns back to Pop.
And don't go crook because I work here now, see?
Inside, a large man hauls a big basket up onto another man's shoulders so he can carry it off. The stage manager approaches the large man with Tommy trailing.
Go down to the store and pick out all that scenery.
All right, I'll go right there.
The stage manager walks away.
Hello, Jim.
What are you doing in here?
I just got a job off that fellow over there at the stage.
You got a job, did you?
Yeah.
Gee, I'm glad.
You know, you've been out of work a long while, haven't you, Tom?
I'll be able to pay you back that money that I borrowed off you as soon as I get my first week's wages.
Now, listen, don't worry about the money, will you? We're mates, aren't we?
Mate.
On stage, chorus girls perform in a kick line. As the dance mistress watches carefully, the girls kick up and out with the same leg. Turning so each girl holds the waist of the girl in front of her, they kick with the other leg. Then face front. Alternating legs. They lunge to finish.
Thank you, girl. Thank you.
Backstage.
Yes.
And we're always going to be mates, too.
You bet your life we are.
Listen, no matter where you go, understand, Tom, that I'm going to be with you.
And when wherever I am, I'll be with me.
You
will. We're mates.
We're mates. Look out, look out. Here's the boss. Look out.
Did I tell you to go down to the store?
Yes, sir.
I'm going away, you go.
I'm going right away, sir.
Jim leaves.
And you? Come with me.
Righto, mister.
At the stage door.
You can't go in there. You're fired.
What?
You're fired.
Fired, am I?
Yeah, the stage manager told me to tell you you've been loafing too long on that message. He's got another bloke in your place. You're out.
Oh, out, am I?
Yeah.
And you've got another coot in my place.
That's right.
We'll soon see about that.
He walks in anyway. On stage, Tommy watches Molly walk past him.
Hey.
And keeps watching.
Hey, you.
He looks back at another stagehand.
Hey, come over here. Come on. Right, I guess I'll be right there. Come on.
He goes to him in a large basket.
Come and give me a lift up with this, and you be careful this time. All right, Gussie. Not Gussie, Gusty, you.
Gus.
Tommy helps Gus lift the heavy basket as the stage manager approaches.
Here, I want you.
I'm helping Gus with the basket.
Well, drop it.
I can't. I've got Gus has got all the other element.
Drop it.
Good help.
He does, and Gus falls down with it.
Look at Gus.
Here.
He's led downstage.
Do you know anything about working a snow sheet?
Snow sheet? I know all about a snow sheet.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Well, when you get the cue, the snow is falling, you pull that rope.
This one over here?
No. Not now, when you get the cue.
Oh, I see. You needn't tell me anymore. I know all about it.
Oh, you do? You understand?
Yeah.
Tell me, what is the cue to pull the rope?
My heavens, it's going to rain in torrents.
Oh, no. No. The snow is falling. Now, don't forget
that. All right,
that.
I'm set.
All right. Stand by, please.
Please.
Now, Miss Denver.
Miss Denver.
Miss Denver.
Miss Denver.
They look around.
Miss Denver.
Miss Denver. Where is that woman, Miss Denver?
Miss, Miss Denver.
Miss Denver.
Skipping a little, Tommy follows him away as Gus shakes his fist after him, and the fired stagehand arrives.
That's the joker that's taken my job, eh?
Yes. I don't like him.
No, and I don't like him either. Listen, is he going to work that snow sheet?
So I believe.
Oh, he is. Well, listen, I'm going to get him in wrong. I know. Gus, go and let down the snow sheet. I'll put a couple of bits of iron in it. Someone will stop a crack.
In the dressing room.
I see Molly's boyfriend has got a job as a stagehand.
Which one?
Tommy Dodd.
Tommy Dodd?
Yes, he's always been goofy about her.
Poor little Tommy. He'll wake up someday.
You met him once.
Meanwhile, Miss Denver is led on stage.
Now, come on, people. Stand by, please.
Tommy takes the rope.
I want to try this snow scene and get it right.
Come on, Mr. Lacey.
A man joins them.
Hey, that's not Gerald Lacey, the actor, is it?
Yes, it is.
How are you, Mr. Lacey? All right?
They shake hands.
I got postcards here at home in our place.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, stuck up on the wall in my bedroom. If I bring one of your photos up, will you signify it for me, Mr. Lacey?
You mean add my autograph to it?
Yes, will you, Mr. Lacey?
I should be delighted to do so.
Thanks very much, Mr. Lacey.
Here, here.
I've never been near a real actor before.
Here, that's enough of you. Attend to your business.
Okay.
Now, get set, please.
The actors hold hands.
You're right.
Where so, you darling, at last I have you all to myself. We are free.
Yes, dear. I'm really happy now. See, the snow is falling.
Tommy watches them happily.
The snow is falling.
Oh, I forgot. Look, did you see the look in that woman's eyes? Lacey, that woman loves you. I saw love in that woman's eyes then. I did.
Shut up. Didn't I tell you when you get the cue to pull that rope, the snow is falling?
But I was looking at the woman.
Oh, well, don't forget.
All right, I won't forget it this time.
I don't know what the trouble is, Mr. Lee. You hurry me up in here and then keep me standing round.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't you start to get temperamental. I haven't got all day to spend in this
now,
place.
Now, listen, I'm getting fed up.
Now, look here.
Call
it. No arguing the point.
Don't speak to me like that, Mr. Lee.
Don't argue the point with me. Please start again.
Lacey holds her arms.
So, darling, at last I have you all to myself. We are free.
Mr. Lee, I refuse to rehearse with this man. He's pinching me.
Oh, don't tell lies, you little devil. Here, get somebody else. I'm through.
He shoves Tommy as he storms off. So Tommy goes to Miss Denver.
Snow is falling.
Oh, get out.
Lee pushes him off her.
Mind your own business. I'm going mad. I know I'm going mad. Here, you.
The fired man stops.
Didn't I sack you?
Yes, sir, but it wasn't my fault. You see, they kept me waiting at the shop, and I couldn't get back in.
Well, do something.
They kept him waiting at the shop, and he couldn't get back in.
You shut up.
That's right.
Well, do something. Yes. Make yourself useful.
Yes, sir.
Look, it doesn't matter who stands under the snow sheet. I want the effect, that's all.
Here, come.
You! Come down here and stand by Miss Denver.
Look, sir, I'm a bit crook. I think I'm going to be sick.
Well, do as you're told. Stand under the sheet. You can be sick later on.
You said a mouthful.
Come on, stand by. Here, you. Stand by there.
When I get the cue, the snow is falling.
That's it. Now, are you right?
Yeah.
The snow is falling.
Tommy pulls the rope, and snow falls with a piece of iron that hits Miss Denver and another that hits the fired man. Tommy wipes his hands.
Well, that's that, anyhow.
He steps to the edge of the stage.
Hello, piano player. How are you getting on? All right?
I'm doing business.
Listen, do you know that song, the prisoner song? I'll be carried to the new jail tomorrow if I have the wings.
Lee steps up to him.
Here, you. I engaged you to work on the stage, not to sing.
Yeah, but you see, I was just asking him, did he know that song? I know dozens of songs.
Do you?
I sing all the songs that were written.
Oh.
Do you know that one, My Girl's Got If?
What?
My Girl's Got If.
No, no. You mean your girl's got it?
Yeah.
Yes.
How do you know?
What?
Would you like me to sing it for you? I sing it pretty good.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Carry on.
Play it for us, will you?
Right.
Lee goes back to the stagehands cleaning the mess.
You remember when I spoke about my girl named Sue? I thought she was fine. Someday she'd be mine. But one day she went away to the city's giddy whirl. She came back today, and I'm very sorry to say, you wouldn't know her if you saw her, 'cause she doesn't seem to fit. I'm all excited, because my girl's got it. When she landed at the station, oh, I nearly had a fit. She caused a big sensation, because my girl's got it. Her hair was brown, now she's a platinum blonde, and oh, her eyes, they gaze into the beyond. I had a great big roll of money, thought that pretty I would sit. But she got her fingers on it, and now my girl's got it.
He turns to the piano player.
How'd you like that, all right? I can dance, too.
Oh, you can you?
Yeah. I learned to dance up in the country. You know, it was funny the way I left the country. I was working on the farm with my father. He had a pig farm. There's me and my father and 15 black pigs and a brother of mine was up there. One day we're all sitting down in the pigsty, arguing the point, and my father looked at me for a long time, and then he swore at me. And I said, am I? And he said, yes, you are. And then we had a fight. Terrible fight. I got back and I swung at him and he ducked. And then he swung at me and I ducked. But I was a bit late with the duck. Well, time rolled on, and I decided to leave the farm. So there's a woman named Mrs. Doyle had a farm over at the back of our place. And I says to myself, I says, I'll get a job at Mrs. Doyle's farm. So I'm walking across a paddock, and I met Florrie Doyle, the daughter, about 18. Good sort. This Florrie Doyle, to all appearances, she was a very nice girl. But it appears... Well, anyhow, I got a job on the farm. And one day, a pig died and we had pork for about 3 weeks. So I didn't say anything. I just carried on, hail fellow, all wet. And then... another day, a cow died, and we had roast beef for about 2 months. And then another day, old Mrs. Doyle died, and I left the next morning. And now I'll do the dance for you.
As Lee sits upstage looking over some papers, Tommy starts tap dancing lightly across the stage. Lee watches with Gus and Miss Denver. Turning to one side, Tommy taps his way backwards, then turns to the other side and does the same. Then he faces front again. He slides back and slips, falling down, but quickly picks himself up and finds the front again. His short legs moving easily, he turns to the side again and spins, losing track of where he is. He finds the front again. He turns to the side and taps backward again. Then faces forward as Lacey watches. With little steps, he slides forward across the stage, then stops and taps some more, finishing with a kick and a stomp. He looks back at Lee, who stands.
Hey, well, Mr. Lee, how's that?
Well, that's very good.
One of these days, my boy, I may put you in one of my shows.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Lee. That's bonza.
Yeah. In the meantime, you're going to help Gus.
Okay, Chief. What?
He opens a door and a set passing by.
Chief,
that's better.
Closing the door, Tommy wanders off to the wings, not trying too hard to look for Gus. When he turns away and bends to look into a large piece of scenery, the fired stagehand creeps up behind him with a chunk of iron. He lifts it up and knocks Tommy over the head. Tommy collapses. Unconscious, his head spins round and round. Lights spin round and round about him. A picture emerges from inside his head. He's back at Giuseppe's stall, while nearby...
Well, my good Tirano, our quest is ended. We will have to go to the king and tell him that we have failed.
Yes.
Tommy notices the two men in top hats and tails.
Yes, my lord Alphan. We have sought the missing prince a long time. As we are unable to find him, I suppose we must return.
He holds up a piece of pastry like a monocle.
I can see much fighting among our people when a stranger is put upon the throne of our beloved king. And I think...
They notice Tommy.
Why, look. It is he.
He?
Who? Why, the prince, the prince.
The quench.
Tommy turns to Giuseppe.
I want you.
Come here, my lad.
Now, I haven't pinched anything.
Sir... Lord Alphan wishes to speak to you.
I haven't pinched anything at all, have I, Giuseppe? I never pinched a thing in my life.
No, you pinched nothing. But one Savoy.
The bad one.
Come here, my lad.
He does.
I want to speak to you on a very serious matter. I'm not going to hurt you. Tell me, what is your name?
Tommy Dodds.
Tommy Dodds?
Yeah.
And where is your mother and father?
I don't remember anything about them.
And is Tommy Dodds your correct name?
Far as I know, it is, mister.
Tommy turns back to the counter.
This person has neither the brains nor the intellect of the prince. We will leave him to go his way in peace.
Serrano, why should you question my actions? I think that I have found the heir to the throne. Come here, my lad.
He turns to them again.
He said I got no brains.
Come here. Have you a birthmark on your neck? A long red scar?
What part of the neck is it on?
On the back of the neck.
How the hell can I see the back of my neck?
Well, may I look?
Yeah? No messing around, you know.
Checking Elfan's hands, he lets him pull down the back of his shirt collar and look.
Your Majesty, your name is not Tommy Dodd. You are the rightful heir to the throne of Etonia.
Elfin and Toronto take off their hats and go down on one knee to Tommy, who takes off his hat and kneels as well. They all stand.
And now I'll tell one. On my right, we have the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You want to look after him? He'll go real mad and bite someone before he's finished. He's a rat bag. Take him away.
He turns back to Giuseppe and gestures that they're crazy.
I assure you I am not joking. Years ago, when you were a baby, you were stolen from your father's palace and taken to Estrada. The king has been searching for you all these years. You strongly resemble the king, and the birthmark on your neck clears all doubt as to your being Prince Bono, heir to the throne of Etonia. We'd like you to leave for home almost immediately. So, Your Highness, when you are ready, I will make arrangements for you to travel.
Hey, listen. Now I'm the king of Baromia. What do? Where do I go? What happens?
Well, we want you to leave for home at once. Have you anything to pack?
Anything to pack? I'm standing in the middle of my portmanteau.
Is there anyone you would like to say farewell to?
No, I got no friends. Only my big mate, Jim. Tell you what I would like to do. I'd like to chuck a brick through the police station window before I leave.
Molly approaches from the theater.
Oh, I don't think we'd better worry about that now.
Oh, Molly, listen, come here. Something terrible's happened. I'm the Queen of Spain.
No, the King of Etonia.
The King of Etonia. You see that scar on me, Nick?
She looks.
Well, my mother was born before me. I was born or something like that, and I was stolen and brought over here, and this man's going to take me back, and I've got all kinds of soldiers and everything. So I'll say ta-da, Molly.
Goodbye, Tommy.
She starts to cry.
I hope you'll be very happy.
She's crying.
She dabs her eyes with a tissue.
What are you crying for, Molly?
Nothing.
Yeah. That was a monster pie you bought me. By crikey, I like that pie. One of the best pies I've ever had. It's been very hot all day, hasn't it?
Your Majesty, when you are ready, we will depart.
Yes. Goodbye, Molly.
He kisses her lightly. Then they embrace.
I'm not going.
He turns to the Bretonians.
I'm not going.
But, Your Majesty, think of your duty to your people. You must go.
You see, Molly, I've got a lot of duty to me people. Or something. And I must go. Well, goodbye, Molly.
Goodbye, Your Majesty.
She curtsies sadly.
Arcata. You silly little thing, Your Majesty.
This little lady is quite right. You are now Your Majesty.
Yeah? That might be all right when we get over to Barassic...
Batonia.
Batonia. But while I'm here with the mob, I'm going to be the same as I've always been. Not Your Majesty, but just plain Tommy Dodd.
More people start to leave the theater as Tommy starts to sing.
They call me pretty names and say that I'm of royal blood, but to me that doesn't sound quite right. I belong to the pie store and the people who live there. I never have a worry and I never have a care. For me to be of royal blood, a king upon a throne, I think it is all wrong, it sounds so odd. I bet that I will wake up soon and find it's all a dream. I'll find I'm not a king, but Tommy Dodd.
Your Majesty, Your Majesty, a king of great will across the sea. Thousands of soldiers to work for you, in the land where skies are ever blue.
Elfin sings.
Your Majesty, Your Majesty, beauty calls we must away. The yacht is at the pier, the yacht is at the pier.
But I want to be
Tommy Dons. I don't wanna be a king. Molly, my pal, my own little gal, I'm going to miss you. I want to kiss you.
Your Majesty, Your Majesty, that could never be. You are a king of royal blood, and much too high for me. But deep in my heart is a memory that will live till I'm under the sun of a dear little child.
Toronto sings.
We must away, we can no longer stay, for when the tide is on the ebb, we sail across the bay.
Your Majesty, Your Majesty, we will no longer you. Goodbye, Your Majesty, farewell, 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 farewell.
Later, a ship sails across the seas for Bitonia. Alone on deck, Tommy picks up the rope rings for a ring toss game. He steps away from the post of the game, then turns and tosses the rings, getting one round the post, then another. He misses with one as Alfan approaches.
Your Majesty. Hello, Alfan. All right. What are you doing down here?
Oh, I like being down here.
But you know this is no place for you.
I'm not going in the Solomon.
You're not going where?
In the Solomon. Now, get that right out of your head. The Solomon up there.
Oh, you mean the saloon?
Yeah, I'm not going up
there. And why not?
Because I don't like it. I was insulted.
You were insulted?
I was insulted.
In what way were you insulted?
Well, you died laughing. See, there was a fellow with an emu.
With a what?
An emu.
An emu?
An emu. A race book of the dinner.
Oh, you mean a menu.
Menu, yeah.
A menu.
Listen, what's the strong of the fella in my cabin?
Which one, Your Majesty?
The fella with gold braid on him and his hair parted in the middle. He tried to undress me.
Oh, yes, that is quite right, quite right.
That is not quite right at all.
He is your valet.
Now, don't try and pull me a leg, Alfred, or whatever you
Alfan.
Name it. Because I know what a valet is. Now, I know.
Now, what do you think a valet is?
A valet is a hollow between two hills. And I don't want any arguing the point from you.
You don't quite understand, Your Majesty. This is your personal servant.
Yeah.
He's there to attend to your clothing. Don't you understand, now you are the King of Bitonia, that it would not do for you to soil your hands by having to dress yourself?
My hands that dirty that I'm going to soil me clothes and everything? Well, anyhow, you'll find him under the cabin, under the bed thing. I donged him.
You struck him.
And you know outside my cabin there's a soldier stands there with a gun with a knife in it.
Yes, yes, with a bayonet, yes, yes.
He's dwelling on me.
What do you mean, he's dwelling
on
you?
He's dwelling on me, that fella is.
In what way?
Because here.
He gives Alfan the rings.
Every time I go past, he's there like that, see? And when I go past, he goes like that.
Holding out his gun.
He's just saluting you, Your Majesty.
Yes, he's just waiting one day until I'm not looking. He's going to go like that with the gun.
He mimes thrusting it and takes back the rings.
Your Majesty, he is what we call one of the King's Guard.
King's Guard.
King's Guard. I will explain to you. You see, in Bitonia, there is a pretender to the throne.
A pretender?
A pretender to the throne of Bitonia.
Somebody's kidding to the queen.
Oh, no. There is a man who thinks he has more right to the throne of Bitonia than you have.
Oh, well, let him have it. I don't want the blooming old throne. I'll get a job on an ice wagon somewhere.
Oh, no,
no. Who wants to be king?
No, that would be impossible. You see, this man thinks he has more right to the throne of Bitonia than you have.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll work shifts.
What do you mean, shifts?
I work 8 hours on the throne, and then he can work 8 hours on the throne. Everybody will be satisfied then.
No, that would be quite impossible. I will explain. You see, this man is a pretender to the throne of Bitonia.
Yeah.
And he has quite a number of followers.
Oh, yeah.
These followers have a plot against your life. Hey? You see, they are trying to kill you.
Who is?
Well, the followers of this man.
Well, I'm going down to get some firemen. I'll be back directly.
There is nothing at all to worry about that.
But I'm going to be killed.
No, no, there is a regiment of soldiers to look after you. This regiment of soldiers is what we call the King's Guard. Now, this man is one of the King's Guard.
Oh, my heavens. That soldier that was outside my cabin, he's yes. on my side.
Oh, of course, yes, yes.
Oh, high lackaday and misery me.
You did not dismiss him?
Well, you see, Alfram, not actually dismiss him, but you remember up the other end of the boat where there's a big long piece of iron, thick one end and thin the other?
I remember, yes.
I bashed him with it.
Good gracious! Your Majesty, you must not do these kind of things.
He's under the bed with the wallaby.
With the what?
The wallaby. Undress you.
Oh, the valet!
Yeah!
Gracious me, Your Majesty, you mustn't do these kind of things. Now come along with me to the saloon and we'll straighten all this out.
I'm not going up the other end. I'm going to stay in the sewerage.
In the where?
Here.
In the steerage.
Steerage?
No, Your Majesty, that is quite impossible. Your place is in the saloon.
I'm not going up the other end.
I must crave your pardon, Your Majesty, but I insist on you going to the saloon.
Who am I?
You are the King of Petunia.
And who are you?
I am your humble servant.
Well, who the hell are you arguing the point with? Hop it. Lively.
Alfan obeys and walks off. Later in the palace of Petunia, a woman in formal dress approaches Tirano, who wears an elaborate uniform.
There is no time for talk now, Yoipan. Two other recruits to our cause have just left.
Babette, and that fellow Hosan? I don't trust him.
No more now. We will meet tonight in the usual place, and I will reveal my plans. Meantime, you can do great work with this fool they call the king. You are to be his new lady secretary. I have arranged that. And when the time comes...
Very well, my lord, Alfan.
For the present, no more.
Alfan approaches.
Greetings, my lord Tirano, and the good Yoipan.
Where have you left his majesty? Is he unattended?
I fear our new king is a little difficult. His ideas are original. I left him at the royal tailor's en route, where he insisted on ordering a new court uniform. He uses strange language.
With your approval, my lord, I have appointed Yoipan here to be the new king's secretary. She will teach him our ways and acquaint him with the correct procedure of the court. You will work hard with him, won't you, Yoipan?
I will give his majesty my undivided attention.
Tis well.
Oh, looks like trouble ahead for old Tommy. How's he going to handle being king? How's he going to deal with that coup that's brewing? And will he ever wake up from being bonked on the head? Find out in the conclusion of His Royal Highness next time on Movies for the Blind. To give you an idea of where Australian film was at this time, in 1932, Hollywood cranked out dozens and dozens of movies, including Farewell to Arms, The Champ, and Scarface. The grand total of full-length non-documentary films made by Australians in Australia in 1932, including this one, 3. For more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, check the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. Also, check out the Movies for the Blind page on Facebook with exclusive previews and video clips. The MP3s are currently being hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. And the movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.